91.5 WMFO Tufts Radio. Today's February 13th. It's 5:03 in the morning. Looking at our weather report, it's 26 degrees out. Clear skies. It's not too bad out, actually. It's the wind's only 9 miles per hour. Humidity looking at 54%. Zero precipitation, but a few clouds later today. Looking forward into our week. We got a little rain on Friday. I'm joined by a special guest, if you'd like to introduce yourself.
Yeah. Good morning, Will. This is Jacob here. I'm excited to be here. This is my first time in the studio.
This is his first time in the studio. My mic feels incredibly loud. Let's snag this one over here. Let's just... bam. All right, try using that bad boy. Let's see...
How's this
sound? Here, let's go. Try talking to that one.
How's this one?
Oh, that one's so much better.
A lot better.
That one's so much better. If you'd like to reintroduce yourself, you can.
Yeah. I'm Jacob. I am Will's wilder father. I'm a senior here at Tufts. Studying mechanical engineering, but not my gig so much. Excited to be here.
Wow, that's more intro for yourself than anyone's ever done. I always kind of have to. Yeah. I always kind of have to prod it out of them. So, just as brief context, wilder father.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
What does that mean? That means that back in the late month of August, I was fortunate enough to meet Will as a young pre-freshman. I lead a trip every year for the Tufts Wilderness Orientation, and Will was one of my first years this past year. So me, Will, 7 other first years, and 1 other student co-leader were fortunate enough to hike for about 5 days. Difficult hikes, but a lot of good conversation, a lot of good relationships.
Perfect. Yeah.
And so this past Sunday at dinner, he invited me here to be on the radio show, and I'm very excited to be here.
Good. I'm looking forward to it. We have a lot planned.
Oh, we've got
today's show.
So much to talk about.
I want to start off by talking about the Olympic Games.
Love it.
You know, they're going on right now.
They are.
And I've never been a super avid about them, but I kind of like the Winter Games.
Yeah.
And
Winter Games, unlike the Summer Games, have a lot of sports that I would never watch. Unless I tuned into the Olympics.
Exactly.
I would never watch curling, but I'm a fanatic about it because it's a Winter Olympic game.
I've been keeping up with a lot of the articles, at least on NPR, because that's what I've been reading, about the Olympic Games. And we had a first-timer gold medalist in snowboarding the other day.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, let me pull it up. NPR. You know, they do really good coverage on these articles with the who's winning, who's losing, whatnot. They have like nice diagrams and ways to see who's all supporting, like who's all on the American team and whatnot. What's your favorite winter Olympic sport?
That's a hard question. Of course I'm a fan of figure skating. It just is so bizarre to me that these people are essentially doing gymnastics on ice.
Do you know how hard that is too, right? I mean, have you seen, I don't know, I saw a Vox video. I think it was a Vox video. It was either that or like a Wired video of how difficult it is to do triple or quintuple spins on ice. And it's ridiculous because it's hard to do, it can be hard to do one or two if you're not, like on a trampoline, if you're not actually...
Oh.
Practicing
totally.
It, yeah.
I can't even make it one lap around a rink without falling down. So it blows my mind to see them get feet off the ground with these twists. And then, of course, I'm a huge fan of like the long jump ski event. You know what I'm talking about? Where they like climb up that tower.
Yeah.
And it's a combination of the height and the distance that you can go. Because, first of all, just fascinating to watch. But what gets me about that is... in their early careers, I'm sure they did a lot of, you know, training before they actually were flying off this jump. But there was one point where they were like, there's no more training you can do. You must just go off this jump. You know what I mean?
True.
Could you imagine? So I respect those people.
It's pretty cool.
I'm really
That's a cool
that.
Event, too.
Yeah.
So looking at it, Chloe Kim won a gold medal in Olympic snowboarding half pipe. This is her first Olympics at age 17. Because she couldn't get into it when she was 13.
Right. I heard about her.
Her parents are from South Korea. Go Chloe Kim.
Go Chloe.
Good for you.
Could you imagine qualifying when you're 13, but you're just too young to go to the Olympics?
I was thinking about that. I was thinking, man, I wish I could qualify for the Olympics at all. And then
ever.
And then compete in them. But man, this article is very good. She actually fell down in her second run, but her third run was a near perfect score, about 2.5 points off.
Unreal, Chloe.
That's unreal. Kim Chloe. They refer to it as Kim.
Kim.
Is it? I think it's Chloe Kim, but Kim's her last name, and they just do that.
All right.
They just do that because they're all fancy. I'm looking out at my man who our in-studio engineers are pulling up at the moment. A man who's from Idaho and Bend, Oregon. First-timer snowboarder on the NPR... on the NPR Winter Olympic list.
Oh, wow.
Not just NPR's list, but in the Olympics. The NCU engineers, they're working really fast. You know, you can see them like running outside of the hall. I pulled this joke last time. It was...
a bustling crowd in
here.
It
was just as good.
So do you feel a personal connection to him being tied to Idaho, this Olympian that you're
speaking of? Kind of. It's one of those... What the... He's not here anymore.
He's been disqualified.
He's been disqualified? Nah, he might be. It might be because I did the wrong. Yeah, here we go. Ben Ferguson, wherever you are, that's you're one of them. Huh. Yeah, I don't know. Either way, there were some people from Idaho. Go them. That's all I'm getting at.
I wonder, considering, you know, that a lot of these people who are in the Winter Olympic Games kind of grew up in areas, whether it was New England, where, you know, cold and they can ski a lot, mm-hmm. or, you know, in the Rockies, whatever. I wonder what population of the Winter Game athletes are from states that are in the lower 10 population-wise, you know, like Idaho, for example.
Yeah.
How many Winter Olympians are from Idaho?
Why don't you take a guess at the top five Winter Olympic athlete states, all right? So... more than 40% of U.S. Winter Olympic athletes come from 5 states. Can you guess all of them? In order? In order. You know, as far as you can go.
Number one, New York. Number two would be Washington State. We've got Vermont in third. No, we've got Colorado in third. Vermont's in fourth. I'm just going to say New Hampshire in spot number 5.
We can tell that you're from the East Coast. In first, you got one. No, you did get two because you decided to throw Colorado in there. Leading the list, Colorado with 31 athletes.
All right.
California in second with 22. Minnesota in third.
Minnesota was not on my radar at all.
Minnesota in third and 19. New York in fourth with 18. And then Utah in fifth with 16.
Wow.
You know, that's a lot of athletes coming from these states. If we show all athletes, we go something like mass. You know, we get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 10, 11. Oh, no. About 9, because I was looking at something wrong. It's about 9.
About 9.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Tell me, how many are from Florida?
Let's pull.
Are there any?
There's definitely one.
Because you could figure skate in Florida. You could be on an ice rink. You know,
There's definitely 5, which there are. We have 1 doing ice hockey and 4 doing long track speed skating.
Yes.
Yep. So
that makes sense to me.
Yep. 2, 3 of which are first timers, 2 okay. returners. None of them won a medal. Poor right. Florida.
They got time though.
Yeah.
They got time.
Yeah. Who, you know, they have all the winter games in the future.
Yeah.
To win something.
Something.
Go Florida. What about Alabama?
That's a I'm going to say 2. 0.
Alabama has many.
Many?
What the? Yeah. 1, 4, I mean, at least 16 alpine skiers. Yeah. Did I not hit the right Alabama? Yeah. Wow. Alabama's got a lot. This seems weird, though, because it's showing me Alaska. Oh, and it says in the small font, it says no athletes from this state showing all. That makes a lot of sense.
There we go.
All right. Alabama, I'm sorry.
I don't think Alabama will be too hurt.
Yeah. Okay, weirdest Winter Olympic sport. That's not curling.
That's not curling. God. You know what's kind of weird? And I don't even know the name of it. The, like, cross-country skiing where you also shoot. Is that a decathlon?
Is that an event?
Yeah.
Is that an
event? You, like, cross-country ski with a rifle on your back. And then at certain points in the race, you get down and shoot at targets.
I knew of cross-country skiing.
Yeah.
Did not know
that
it was cross-country hunting.
Yeah, basically.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
wild. That's pretty cool, actually.
It's wild.
Huh.
I would say that's quirky. Relatively quirky.
Why don't we have a team here?
I don't know.
You know, that would make a lot of sense, you know. Tufts, quirky.
Quirky. Right? But I feel like the Tufts population.
It's a little. Yeah, I don't know if they'd be all for it.
Wouldn't be super into the whole gun aspect.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
A cool sport.
Yeah. Most competitive event.
Oh my God.
The one that really brings the most heat.
I think short track speed skating.
Short track speed skating.
Yeah. That can be pretty wild. In regard to just how quickly the standings can change, the falls, it's unreal. It's super fun to watch.
I will have to respectfully disagree and go with bobsledding.
Really?
Bobsled team. They save it for the latter part of the Olympics. I hit my microphone. They save it for the latter part of the Olympics. They do it on the last few days. If you've ever seen how bobsledding works, I would never bobsled.
I'd be so claustrophobic. I would turn.
It's so scary. Those things look so dangerous. I don't get it.
Do you have a preference to 2-person or 4-person bobsledding?
4-person bobsledding.
Good.
Because it's about, you know, it's the full team, right?
Yeah.
It's like watching chess is great, but it's one person.
Yeah.
Versus a team.
Yeah. I can respect that.
That's might be bashing some things that I do because I like single based activities too.
How much would someone have to pay you for you to bobsled?
Oh, I mean, not that much.
Really?
I'd bobsled. But I mean, there's no way I'd be able to bobsled near as efficiently as those bobsledders. No. I wouldn't make it to the end of a track because the turns that they make, they have so much speed going. I wouldn't have the speed. I'd fall. But the tracks are kind of built to have the speed. You know, maybe I wouldn't bobsled.
I can tell you I would not bobsled.
I'd have to train
for
that. That's terrifying. Not the training, but the bobsledding. I would do it.
All right.
Maybe if I trained. But that's a little much.
It could be something fun to work for.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a little late to qualify the Olympics.
Where are the Winter Olympics in 4 years?
That's a good question. Where are they at right now? Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
A little bit about Pyeongchang, South Korea. I don't know anything about it.
I know you're a big fan.
I really don't know anything about it. And I was watching the Olympics this past weekend, and they kind of panned out and showed the mountains around the area where the Olympians were competing. And I guess in my mind, I never thought about South Korea as being a great wintertime destination.
Nope.
It didn't cross my mind.
Yeah.
I had a friend who actually, over winter break, was skiing in Japan. And that made sense to me. But I don't know why South Korea was so surprising. But now it makes sense. It's a great place to do a lot of wintertime activities.
Looking ahead, Winter Olympics 2022, Beijing, China.
Really?
Which I didn't know gets that much snow either.
I did not know Beijing was out. A wintertime city.
No, not at all. I mean, maybe it's just where they host it, but then they bus all the people out somewhere where it actually snows.
Right. Because I'm thinking about Beijing hosted the Summer Olympics in 2008. So that's a pretty quick turnover from Summer to Winter Olympic Games.
Yeah, I mean, at least 6 months.
At least 6 months, what?
For the seasons to change.
Well, I'm talking about from 2008 to 2022, hosting
both games
in a span of 20 years.
They just took the opportunity. Yeah. And I mean, China's doing well in terms of economy, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not too great in that area, but they're doing well, I think. Yeah. And so they're not going to pull a Rio, hopefully.
I hope not.
And just be kind of gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And kind of, yeah. Yeah. But you know what's a bummer? I really wanted Boston to have the Summer Olympics.
Boston.
They were in contention for the Summer Olympics. I don't know who
would really?
Went to. Yeah. Because for a few reasons. One, it would have been super accessible to go watch the Summer Olympics.
Yeah.
Granted, I would have graduated by then.
Yep.
Wouldn't be here. But it would have been so fun to come back here, see the Olympics, and reason two, I heard a rumor that Tufts was campaigning to host the aquatic games here.
Oh.
In which case they would build a new aquatic center. And
I was gonna say, why would they ever do that?
Not in this pool. And God knows we need a new aquatic facility.
A new pool.
So I thought that would have been really cool. How cool that on your college campus you had the Olympic Games.
That'd be very cool.
Yeah.
For anyone that's unaware, Jacob is a swimmer.
A retired.
Was a swimmer.
A week and a half ago, basically.
Yeah.
My last swim of ever.
He's wearing a swimming shirt in the studio right now. I can see one M and an ing. Oh, it says Jumbos, swimming and diving.
Clearly, I'm not over it, Will. I need to wear the clothing to remind myself at one point I was a swimmer.
And you'll swim again.
I'll swim again.
Not ever competitively. Probably.
We'll see. There are basic adult softball leagues.
Yeah.
There's like adult swim leagues and master swimming.
Yeah.
And I've trained with master swimming the past few summers because it's a little more relaxed. Shout out to my master swimmers. A little more relaxed. And I can definitely see myself doing that, but not for a few years. I need a few years where my hair regrows. It's healthy again, you know.
Yeah.
I stay out of my skin, isn't flaking off of me, you know.
Uh-huh.
I'll take some time off. But I could see myself getting
You're still at an age where you could qualify for the Summer Olympics.
You're right. I could bail on my career and train full time to be an Olympic athlete.
Asian continents are doing really well because the next Summer Olympics are being held in Tokyo.
Are they really?
Yeah, Tokyo 2020. I kind of like the ring of that. Tokyo 2020.
Good alliteration.
Yeah.
Tokyo 2020.
Will Wilson on The Will, 91.5 WMFO.
That's a good example as well.
Yeah.
I like it.
Normally I'd be doing that to cue into music, but we're popping off so hard right now that we shouldn't even bother.
Absolutely not.
So we have three Asian areas being Beijing, Seoul, and Tokyo. Which one would you like to visit the most?
The most? It's a tie between Tokyo and Beijing. I've made quite a few friends at Tufts from Beijing, and I would love to go visit them and see where they grew up, their hometowns, meet their families. I think that would be awesome. I love seeing a city in the least touristy way possible, and I feel the best way to do that is to be with a native in some way, whether you're doing an exchange, you're staying with a host family, you're visiting a friend. That, I think, is the best way to see it. So I would love to visit friends in Beijing. But I've also been dying to go to Japan, and I think it would be a ton of fun to see a bustling city like Tokyo.
It'd be really cool. It'd be so cool.
I would be so out of my element. It would be awesome.
Seoul's just off your list.
Seoul's not off my list.
But I mean, it didn't make the top two.
It didn't make the top two, but I think it would be pretty neat.
I think it'd be pretty cool. We'll see. Yep.
I mean, I'm going to need a lot of money to fly across the world.
Yeah, true. That's the hard part, too.
That's the hard part.
But, I mean, you're going into mechanical engineering. He's already working kind of in India.
Yeah. Kind of.
We don't have to talk about that
You're not going to know anything about it. You just know that I kind of.
And it was a whole event. That's enough.
That's enough.
That's enough to talk about. What are you listening to recently? What have you been digging? Any new albums?
I was just talking to my housemates about this yesterday. I'm one of those people that when a song gets stuck in their head, listens to it on repeat nonstop.
I kind of do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the only way to get it out of my head. So I've had a Demi Lovato song stuck in my head. Shocking, right? Will, I talk about Demi Lovato a lot.
Dinner, Sunday.
Yeah.
And every other day.
Every other day.
Yeah.
But I've been, I of course will frequent her album. You know the new artist Dua Lipa? A lot of people know her songs, you know, IDGAF, an acronym there.
Yep. Thank you for keeping it studio appropriate.
Yes, of course. New Rules, that's her biggest song. She's awesome. I wound up seeing her at the House of Blues back in the fall. And her album, her first album, is actually killer. It's got a lot of really fun songs, ones you can sing along to really well. And it's a really good range of some piano pieces and some rock. She's a pretty diverse singer, and I enjoy listening to her album.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I like her.
You know, before we tuned in, all you probably heard was Mac DeMarco's The Stars Keep on Calling My Name. But if you were here before that, it won't be on the archive. You heard Toon Yard's Heart Attack and Franz Ferdinand, Take Me Out. I only picked those songs because I needed to burn some time. And I haven't been listening to any of those songs in a while. I've been listening to MGMT's new album.
Yeah, you told me about that
Sunday. I told you about that. I'll play a song of that. You'll get to hear it. It's some funky 80s cardio sounding beats, but it's modernized with synthesizers, and also it's a little more cynical. It's not as doesn't take itself as seriously as some 80s pop songs.
Okay.
It's a little jokes a little more.
I'm excited.
Yeah, and then some folk music. So Father John Misty, I brought that up too. That's what I planned for our interlude.
How do you feel about Mumford and Sons? Do you ever listen
to
them?
It's fine.
He's passionate about it.
It's fine, but it's just at this point it's like, okay, all right. I'm looking for looking for something that's, you know, different.
Okay.
Something that's tangible. It's always the same song too. They incorporate the banjo, but anytime I listen to one Mumford and Sons song, I'm listening to all of the Mumford and Sons songs.
Interesting.
But Father John Misty's not traditional folk. He's modern piano and, you know, singing, but there's just like a folky twist to his lyrics.
I bet.
Especially in his most recent album, Pure Comedy. The song I'll play is his probably most pop sensualized song.
Okay.
It's not folky that like whatsoever, in my opinion.
I'm excited to
listen. I like it because it's a little more groovy. And groovy. The more folky songs that he offers are a little dense if you're not really paying attention. Not too dense. They still have beautiful interludes. We'll end on a more dense one, maybe.
Maybe.
You told me earlier that you don't like any rap music.
I'm not into rap. And you know why?
Why?
I think it's because my whole life I've been like this closeted singer. Not that I'm any good.
He's great.
And like, I'll sing in front of my friends, but like, I've never been in a choir, never tried out for a cappella, like never kind of did the performance singing.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, when I listen to music, I want to be able to listen and sing along to songs that I wish I could perform. And for me, rap just doesn't give me that space.
That's fair.
Yeah. I also just can't speak quick enough to rap lyrics well.
I totally dig it. That's kind of why I do like it, is because it's the challenge of overcoming it, being able to say it fast enough.
So valid.
Not messing up.
Wow. I'm just afraid of challenge.
I'll show you. Hopefully we'll slap on another track eventually.
Okay.
I'll give you a real dense lyric, like a real lyric dense song that's just like, whoa. You're just gonna be like, there's no way. How does he do it? That's what I think every time I hear it.
Who sings that song?
MF Doom.
MF
Doom. He's known for having very lyric dense albums. My favorite being Food.
That's really the name of the album.
Came out in 2000.
Oh, wow.
Food. is comprised of about 12 to 14 tracks, each titled a food, like a food pun of some sorts, whether it be beef wrap or oh no, I feel so bad that I'm repping this album and I can't even remember. We have Deep Fried Friends and Hoe Cakes.
Ooh.
It's all very undergroundy, very interesting produced rap music. I really enjoy it. Oftentimes the way the lyrics works, you're not listening to it for what he's saying all the time. You're listening to it because the lyrics are the music.
Oh, that's such an interesting point.
The flow is so unique, especially in the rap world, that when you listen to it, there's no way you're going to hear to every lyric. So you just kind of tune it out, unless you know parts of it.
Yeah. No, I like what you said about the lyrics actually being the music. Yeah. I think that's cool. I don't think I've ever really thought of the sound of the words themselves being the music. Yep. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited.
It's really cool. You know, it's 5:29.
5:29.
We're going to queue out for a few tracks because we've been talking about them.
We've been building up this anticipation.
We've been building it up. There's a lot of hype surrounding these tracks. Hopefully, all of these viewers enjoy them.
They're on the edge of their car seats.
We'll be right back with The Will, 91.5 WMFO in Medford.
Take it the wrong way.
91.5 WMFO Medford. We're back after a short music break. You just heard She Works Out Too Much on MGMT's new album, Little Dark Age. You also heard Real Love Baby by Father John Misty. It's a single. I'm joined by my guest today, Jacob Siegelbaum, senior at Tufts, swimmer, and does other stuff guy.
I love it.
I mean, swimming and then some.
And then some.
I love the additives. You know, I think we should get this PSA one and done, because last show, when I also had a swimmer in the studio.
Who'd you have?
I had Sarah Weiner.
Oh, or Wiener, nice.
Yeah. And I forgot to do the PSA until the very end. Okay. She reminded me. She's a gem.
She is a gem.
So we're just going to fade that music out. If you'd like to read a PSA,
yeah,
do your best.
So I was leafing through this morning, Will, and this one stood out to me. So numbers to think about. Prescription drug versus medical marijuana deaths. Did you know that the number of Americans that die each day from an accidental overdose of prescription drugs is 54? Whereas the number of human beings that have died from an overdose of medical marijuana in all of recorded history is zero. That's a message brought to you by the public interest from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Brilliant. You're a natural at the PSA game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I've been rehearsing.
Yeah.
I've been practicing in my
head. I saw him walking up to the studio, and he was practicing his, "Hi there, I'm Jacob Siegelbaum. Hi there, I'm..."
Getting Jacob. Into it.
Yeah.
I listened to my pump-up song on my way over here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What was it?
The same song I've been listening to for the past 3 days. The Demi Lovato song called Stone Cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when I work out and I go on runs with my buddy, we decided one day, we'll mix our music lists. And I just had never thought about playing some of the music that he gave me. I know of it. And now that he gave some of it to me and showed it to me, I'm like, why did I never play this from the beginning? Because it's really good, especially when working out, because it pumps me up.
Yeah. I think there are definitely times when I listen to different genres of music, and it depends on my mood a little bit, but also on the activity. Like, there are certain things that I could only listen to when I'm working out. If I'm working out, you could throw a little rap in there.
Okay.
If I'm in a car, that's got to go.
No chance.
There's no chance.
Well, maybe I can slowly introduce you to the rap game.
Do it.
I'll slowly show you some of the things that you should and shouldn't listen to. Some of the stuff that I think is worth your time.
I would love that. I'm always more inclined to listen to something if I have a rec from a friend.
Okay.
Because I trust it more.
Yeah.
I trust it more.
I can shoot a few things your way.
Fair.
I'll do that. My favorite workout song, and it's only because it gets like going like right at the end when I need the final pump, is Coheed and Cambria's song "Welcome Home." It's a brutal, like harder,
brutal.
It's a brutal, like heavy metal song, especially for running, because it's about 6 to 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Might even be longer. And towards the end, it plays the same continuous guitar riff. And it feels like, all right, we're done after this next four, you know, da-na-na, whatever bit, like guitar sections. And then it goes again. And you're like, okay, all right, just four more. And then it just keeps going and going and going. And then finally, it ends. And it's so cathartic.
I love that.
Yeah.
There, I also have a running song, like a powerful running song. It's maybe a little different. It's a Millie by Lil Wayne. And that, it's so bass heavy that before, I got a new pair of headphones like 2 years ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And before that, the headphones I was using had no ability to reproduce any sort of bass sound.
Oh, and so these you just bumped them up right away.
Yeah. I felt like I was running as a different human being once I heard the other 50% of this song that I couldn't hear before.
It's like a lot of songs too. It's not just that one.
No.
And some songs are mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are you a runner? Do you like to run?
Yeah, for sure.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's my primary way to stay fit, I guess, is running.
Do you prefer outdoor running, or are you like a treadmill guy?
I think that I would be doing more outdoor running if it wasn't cold right now.
Fair.
First semester, when it was warmer in the evenings, You know, just run around the campus real quick.
Yeah.
Do a quick block. Outdoor running is harder than treadmill running, though. Keeping your pace is... I find it so difficult to keep my pace.
Really funny you say that, because I was just talking with a friend the other day about running. Shameless plug. Did I tell you this on Sunday? I decided to run a half marathon.
No, you did not.
Yeah.
Just out of, like, just on
you
the limb.
You know what happened? I'm somebody that, like, once I end one commitment, I'll, like, take a week and I'm like, ugh, I love my free time. And then I'm like, gotta fill it with something else. So, like I said, I ended swimming a week and a half ago. And this past Thursday, I think it was, or excuse me, last Wednesday, I was talking to a friend and he kind of dropped the idea casually. What if we did a half marathon? And, you know, he didn't take it very seriously, but I latched on. And
oh
now
my
I forced
gosh.
Him into it. So I think we're going to run a half marathon the first weekend of May.
Oh, so you haven't done it yet?
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
Absolutely
oh,
not.
Oh, you scared me.
Will, my femurs would be in pieces if I tried to run a half marathon right now. No, we're going to run the first weekend in May. So it's like a 12-week training program.
Yep. That's so cool.
Yeah, and I'm excited for it. But I was talking with a friend about running because I prefer to run outside. But like you, the cold weather... is a bummer.
Not a fan. Even with longer clothes on.
No.
Not a fan.
And it like it's hard on your lungs.
Yeah.
To breathe in all that cold air for so long. So I asked my friend, are you a treadmill person? Because I'm curious if I could do some of my training on the treadmill. And they brought up the point that it's a lot easier to keep your pace on a treadmill.
Yeah.
And I had never thought about that.
It makes so total sense. Much easier. I find myself even messing up my pace on a treadmill. Like I'll get going and I'll go too fast and
too
I'll
much.
Overstep and I have to slow down. And then when I slow down, I'm way too slow.
Yeah.
But if, you know, just technically speaking, I'm running at a great pace. I've been told you have to train at about 8 miles per hour if you want to be a competitive marathon runner.
Oh my God.
And so my buddy and I push. He's been running 8. I run around 7 at the moment.
8's pretty fast.
8's incredibly fast, but it's on a treadmill. We have to keep that in mind. It seems incredibly fast. When I started the first day I did, it was 6 and I was exhausted. And I was like, okay, we'll bump it up a little more. You know, we'll slowly go up. So every day I did a little more. I had a little incline too. And then I'd like bring it down to, the incline wasn't to simulate the outside world, but the incline definitely, when I put it down, I felt it. You'd feel it, even if it was just up like a little bit. So I'd slowly go up, and now I'm at 7.5, and I can run a little, you know, a little bit that amount.
All right.
And it's fine. It's still hard, and I can't even imagine that pace outside.
How do you keep your pace outside? Obviously, people have watches and whatnot, but like, I guess you know, if I went for let's just say a 5 mile run, and I wanted to keep an 8 minute mile pace, I'm not taking into account hills, inclines, declines.
No.
I wouldn't be consistent in nature.
I think I need to just find some kind of app that plays me a beat every time I need to put a foot down.
Yeah.
But that doesn't measure my pace because that's not keeping track of the length of my leg.
The stride. Yeah.
Dang it. I don't know.
I bet you $5 there's an app out there that could help you.
It would try. I don't know if it'd be successful. But also, discipline, I guess, right? Is knowing let's get it. I don't want to pull up a soundboard. We'll just go. There you go. I forgot my point.
Discipline.
Yeah, discipline to keep pace. It's so hard, though.
I don't know.
I don't know if I could do it. I could do it if I worked at it.
Well, here's the thing. This training program, it's actually not that much quantity-wise. You have 1 day a week where you do like a long run. And that's like your buckle in.
Yeah.
You're going.
That's the marathon team right there.
But it's a lot of like 3, 4, 5 mile runs. So what I'm trying to do is just look for a lot of buddies this spring who want to run.
Yeah.
So.
That's great.
I might hit you up. And and you know what? Your discipline will help me keep my
pace. Yeah.
Yeah.
The hardest part is running next to my friend. If he's at a higher pace, I feel as though, man, I should push myself a little more every time. That way, at least I'm matching his pace.
Yeah.
But we're both exhausted, so it doesn't really matter in the end, right?
Hey,
we're both
it doesn't
we're both
matter.
Ending on the same note.
Good. It's yeah. like exercise like is a personal thing.
Yeah.
And that's something that even I succumb to, the like gym intimidation thing. When you're next to someone mm-hmm. who's just crushing you, God.
I mean, he's pushing me. He's not making me feel bad. And I framed it as though he was. He doesn't actually do good. That. It's definitely a buildup.
That's what it should be.
Yep.
If it's motivation, amazing.
Like yesterday is a great example because I didn't want to go. And I texted him, hey, let's go earlier, beat the crowd. And instead of running today, let's do a lift. And when we met up, he's like, thank God you did this because I wouldn't have gone today. Yeah. And I'm like, yep. So it's pushing each other.
Yeah, it's a lot more fun to work out in groups, yeah. I think.
At least a pair.
Yeah.
And without him, I wouldn't be going consistently.
Yeah.
So.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Fitness is important.
Yeah, it's very important.
Yeah.
And this is the best time not the best time to start. I guess it's like, it's start now or, I mean,
yeah.
you can start later, but it's just not as efficient.
No, I get that. And I think if you can kind of define your rhythms and your workout patterns now, of course they will change as your schedule changes, but it will feel right to keep it as a part of your life.
Very true.
You know? Yeah.
This is so weird. Not having my headphones on is the moment. I'm wearing a beanie in the studio today for anyone that's can't see me. And
for those of you that can.
For those of you
most people can't see me. But for the few that can.
And the beanie, surprise, it blocks your ears a little bit.
Shocking.
And so I just want to be able to wear it. There we go. I just want to be able to wear the headphones, right?
Yeah.
Our content. Yeah. So you're filling up a lot of your time with running. You know, you're coming up. This is the fifth week of the second semester.
Oh, dear God.
There's about 10 more.
Okay. Uh-huh. Can you believe, first of all, it's the fifth week?
No.
I feel like we started this semester yesterday.
Yeah, it feels pretty fast.
Yeah, the end of the year, which is the end of college for me, is approaching. It feels, Will, I always use the word appropriate. It feels appropriate. It's very bittersweet, though.
That's exactly how I felt about high school.
Yeah.
This is the time, need to move on.
Yeah.
And only at the end was it like, all right. Like only at the way end did it drag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that happens. I felt the same thing. You know, I've had my ups and downs in college, have loved it, have hated it at points, but you know, there's something about senior year, and I remember going through the same thing in high school where school kind of relaxes. Professors know there's other things going on. They want you to enjoy your time.
Yeah.
And you know, you've got you're going out more, you're having fun, you're maybe meeting new people or spending more time with people you didn't spend, you know, as much time with before. Yeah. And you're like, oh my God, I can't leave. But then you think about how, you know what, I've been here for 4 years. It feels right. It feels like the time to go. You know, I've put in my time. And I know when late May rolls around, I'll be sad. But it will feel good. But what is scaring me right now is that 5 weeks just flew by, and I know the next 10 are gonna fly by, and I can't even think about that. But things are just speeding past me.
The work gets shoveled on and then immediately shoveled off.
Yeah.
That was such a nice note. I think we need to end on that.
Yeah.
We'll play a few more tracks as we lead out. It's 5:51. You've been listening to The Will this morning on 91.5 WMFO, Medford. I was joined by my guest, Jacob Siegelbaum. Thank you for joining me in the studio today.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. A lot of fun.
Thank you for coming in. It means so much to come in so early.
Hey, I've always been a morning person. Today maybe pushed my limits.
Pushed the limits.
But it was good. It was good.
Tune in next week, where we have another special guest, hopefully. And we'll see you at 5 a.m. This is The Will, 91.5 WMFO in Medford.
darker than the East River, larger than the Empire State, where the beast who guard the barbed wire gate is on the job, not my fate. Tired of the wait till the villain bring deliverance from the dire straits, fire at a higher rate. Why debate the liars, flyers scatter by a plate, isolate the wires. Try the straight pliers, if not the vice grips, a real price saver way to acquire nice whips. What a steal for real on wheels of steel, stunner, a funner summer, number one meal deal bummer. A bizarre phenomenon, is your armor on? Take your cash, karma, or break your fast Ramadan, transacts on drama, oh, come on Barney. Clack, clack, pardon me, whack, rap, con carny. He came to feed the children like Sally Struthers. After that, he's going back to Cali with the wilder than the Nile, hold power like the Great Pyramid of Giza, and stay leaning like the Tower of Pisa. Give him something he can feel that's soft to squeeze her. Roar with the pen and on the mic off the heezer. Get shot off that wide-eyed talk, and if he had a pot, he'd still piss on the sidewalk. You can't take the street out the street person, looking for the perfect beat, coercing into heat person. They couldn't spot him on a spot date, got the only tape that come with a free hot plate. Whoever do get to see me sing with the 3D ring sitting stationary like BB King can see how it really sting. It ain't no front row, standing room only at the motocross stunt show. The roughness ain't up to snuffle up to this. Me and Sub is like the Brown Smothers brothers. Faster than the seven seas, bigger than Mount Kilimanjaro. If they don't know, fill them in tomorrow on the horror show. A mental note, return Bob's record. Swear to God, before he gets a job, he robs Eckerd. Blessed with a hot flow, tested and got dough. Invested and stressed, the best to Vanessa Opto. As I reminisce, never forgot when I was very broke. Shot the Henny straight, couldn't afford to cop the cherry coke. Or should I say broke with wealth, to know enough to give them just enough rope to yoke they self. Plan B before I take the ring and pawn it. The long arm of the law couldn't even put their fingers on it. Doggone it, do the statistics. How he busts lyrics is too futuristic for ballistics, and far too eccentric for forensics. I dedicate this mix to Sub Rock, the hip hop Hendrix.
Take them once he's
dead.
eventually the dying man takes his final breath, but first checks his newsfeed to see what he's about to miss. It occurs to him a little late in the game, we leave as clueless as we came. From the rented heavens to the shadows